To stand here today and proclaim the word of God. As I studied, as I meditated, I'm like, Lord, I know there's something you want me to see in a certain passage of scripture, but Lord, I can't quite get it. So yesterday, I was sitting outside awaiting, we were at a wedding, and the sky was so beautiful, Evelyn. Mm-hmm. The cloud and the sun came through, and it was right hot out there for a minute. I'm like, this bride better come on, because it's getting hot out here. But it was just, then a cool breeze, like came from the east wind. Mm. And it's just like, I could just see Jesus. Mm-hmm. It was just so beautiful. And I was sharing with Pastor, I had gotten on, I ain't gonna say the wrong thing to say, 540, total 545, you know, but I had never been on it. And I was just amazed. And one of my sisters was trying to, I said, Beach, quiet. I got here where she's telling me to turn, because I've never been on this before. But it was such a beautiful day. But it was just like, I could see Jesus through the cloud. It was just amazing. So here I am today. There is a word from the Lord. Now, we celebrated what we call Easter. And you know, as I begin to think back on that, what we used to do and what we do now is so different. I don't really know why. We used to get some new clothes at Easter time. We had to go to church, especially Sunday school. We had to say a program. We had to say our part. Yeah. And Sunday was a day of church. On Monday, you could have an Easter egg hunt. Mm-hmm. And you didn't just forget about Easter. For some reason, it just sort of lingered. But now, it's a little bit different. We come and have our little celebration. We go our way. We might go and have dinner with the family, but it just seems so different. And I'm like, God, what is it? So as he began to speak to me, and this may be just for me, to think back and to reflect where you are. Father, here I am. I present my body to you to be used. In fact, God, I give myself to you to be used any way you see fit today. You know what you've had me to study. You know what needs to be said. God, it's your business, so you need to tell me exactly how you want me to deliver it, God. But I yield to the Holy Ghost. So Holy Ghost, have your way. Use me, God, however you see fit. I submit to you right now, Spirit of the living God. I need you, Lord. I need you now. Come, Heavenly Dove. Have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. And as I was saying, we have already celebrated Easter, or had Easter, and celebrated the resurrection. And according to the Christian calendar, we are still in the season of Eastertide. Which actually began on Easter Sunday, and it continues for 7 Sundays. So an Easter message, if you will, is still appropriate. Now last Sunday, I wasn't here. Pastor preached a message entitled, Holding On to the Moment. Now Pastor, I got to tell you, I just sort of took your title and added to it. And I'm going to submit the title today, Hold on to the moment, but get involved in the movement. Hold on to the moment, but get involved in the movement. Jesus did not get up for his followers to sit down.
That's right.
Jesus did not get up for his followers to sit down. Now, we're all familiar with the movement, right? A movement connotates something, maybe a group of people working together to promote a cause, a right, a view, whether social, religious, political, or whatever. And recently, we saw people doing things that they felt was important and dear to them. Recently, there has been the gun violence or the gun control movement. And certainly, we talked a little bit about Christians having guns and things that relates to guns. But you know, I'm of the mindset of Dr. Marcus Ingram. Some of you probably knew him. He was an Eagle, one of Pastor's co-laborers in the gospel of Sister Monica, but there is an Aggie in the house today, just so you know that. But in his preaching, he would often say, somebody needs to say something. Somebody needs to say something. I'm in agreement that somebody needs to say something, but I also know that somebody needs to do something. Now, the evangelicals are saying something. They talking loud, but they ain't saying nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yes, sir. But somebody needs to stand up and be counted in saying the right thing. Perhaps it ought to be these born-again Christians, these Holy Ghost-filled believers. Maybe that's who should be saying something. So, why aren't you saying something then? Isn't that us? We say we are Christians, right? We say we are followers of Christ. Well, Christ was always doing something. As I read my Bible. But as a follower of Jesus Christ, we should be doing something. The scripture, Acts 10:38, says this, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing. He wasn't just doing, he was doing good. It wasn't that he had a PhD, but he was doing PhD. He was preaching, he was teaching, he was healing all manner of disease. So if we're going to follow Jesus, we need to be about doing something. We need to be about, I heard you say, our Father's business. And because it's his business, we need to ask him, what is it that you want me to do? When do you want me to do it? where do you want me to do it? Because we can't grow where we're not planted. And how do you want me to do it?
Yeah.
Now, I went through all the gospel accounts, and you know the resurrection of Jesus Christ is just one reality, but it's four different accounts. Mm-hmm. All the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, mm-hmm. records the resurrection narrative.
Yep.
And growing up in the CME church, well, that particular denomination, we used to say the Apostle Creed. We did what we call, we affirm our faith. So we know that Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He appeared to a whole lot of witnesses before he ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father. So now Jesus is sitting, but he's still doing something. He's up there with the Father making intercessions for us right now. So while he's up there sitting, we should be up doing something. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like, God, I don't know what to do. It's so much to do. Can I really make a difference? If 12 people made a difference, we ought to be able to make a difference, right? We're more than 12. But sometimes we make excuses. And I believe people don't do for couple of reasons. Either they don't know or they don't want to. They don't know we can fix. Pastor come in here and teach and preach. We come to Bible study, spiritual discussion, so we can know, right? So we don't do. I don't know what the reason. But as I went through the narratives about the resurrection, I began to see a few different things. I mean, I'm sure it was there all the time. I just didn't see it. I didn't have no revelation. So, but as I went through it, and sometimes you read different authors and different things, and they're trying to make you think that the scripture contradicts itself, but it doesn't. But rather than trying to look at some different in the gospel and try to compare something, I just started to just sort of look at, let me look at this a little bit deeper. Let me see what this is saying. Mm-hmm. Is it saying what it's saying?
Mm-hmm.
See, now, the Bible tells us in all thy getting what? Get an understanding.
Yeah.
You can't have no understanding, no revelation unless the Holy Spirit teach you.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe I just need to meditate on this and see what the Spirit of God is going to say to me. Now, I guess I was thinking, well, way back there when the disciples, but I think the disciples just did not have a celebration. I think they had a realization. Jesus is alive. And because he is risen, that has changed today. Pastor talked about living the moment. The Easter moment. I believe they lived that Easter moment every day. And once they realized what Christ had done, things were different. They didn't just go and sit and do nothing. They took it to heart, Reverend Riley. They did something. They went out to share with others. I call it a movement. But I want to call your attention to the gospel according to Mark. Now, Minister Riley read a passage. I'm going to make reference to that passage of those scriptures, but that's not the text. Turn in your Bibles with me to Mark, the 16th chapter, which addresses the resurrection and Christ's ascension. I'm going to read several verses, but I'm going to pick up one verse that I want to call to your attention. And it reads thusly, and when the Sabbath, starting at the first verse in Mark 16, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right-hand side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were frightened. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. Well, he's not here. He is risen. Behold, the place where they laid him." Verse 7 is the verse that I really want to focus on. "But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you in Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly. They didn't mess around. They went on. So just recapping, you got these women. They were commissioned to put away their fears because Christ was alive and well. But he told them to tell the disciples and Peter, Christ has risen and he's going to meet you in Galilee. Now Jesus had told them that. But it's real interesting here. The name of no other disciple was mentioned other than Peter. Do you wonder why? You probably know why, because you was in Sunday school this morning. And I was absent. But I wasn't really absent. I was in the other room. So, tell Peter. Are you talking about the one who denied Christ? Mm-hmm. Not once, not twice, but thrice. You read it. That's right. Sometimes he's referred to as Cephas. Sometimes he's called Simon Peter. Oh, yeah, he's the one. But I think you all got another name for him. Somebody has called him denying Peter. But notice, Jesus didn't call him denying Peter as we go through. He just called him Peter. Now, I think Peter trying to teach me something. Because in my last message back in about February, Peter was in the message also. So I'm wondering what Brother Peter got to tell me. I believe we can learn something from this. But before we just size up denying Peter, let's take a little retrospective view and see a little bit more about Peter. I think I want to deal with his calling. Y'all remember when Jesus called Peter? Now, the Bible say, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother. They were casting a net into the sea because they were fishers, as I would say, fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And straightway, or immediately, they left their nets and followed him. When Jesus called them, they stopped what they was doing and follow him." And as I read that passage of scripture, I don't see where they asked no question. They just followed him. You'll find that recorded in Matthew 4:18-20. They just followed him. They heeded the call. Now, Brother Peters is embarking up on his new career. Jesus is going to make him a fisher of men. He soon rose to the occasion and became the most outspoken of the 12. You all know that, right? But you know what happened? something happened and Peter fell in a situation. Well, there's some things about Peter, as I said before, he always talked a lot. And Peter, I think, really loved Jesus. And just because we love Jesus don't mean sometimes we want him. But thanks be to God that Jesus is a forgiving person. So now we have, Peter's following Jesus. And they're having many conversations. But if you recall, and I know First Lady David, because she told me, yeah, talked about them storms they back in February. But the Bible say in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went walking onto the sea. Mm-hmm. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Mm-hmm. Now, they just had seen Jesus perform these miracles. Jesus going to pray, and he said, y'all get in the boat, paraphrase, and go to the other side. Mm-hmm. Jesus sent the multitude away, and then he went to pray. Now, sometimes you got to get in your secret closet. Close yourself off and just you and the Lord have
That's
a conversation.
Right. That's right.
You need nobody else around, not even the disciples. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled.
That's right.
They were scared. But Jesus said to them, be of good cheer. It's I. Be not afraid. What did Peter say? And Peter said, Lord, if it be thou you, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, come. When Jesus said, come, Peter did something. He got out the boat and he walked on water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he got afraid. And he was beginning to sink. And he cried, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. He said, why'd you doubt? Maybe he was acting like doubting Thomas. Maybe he just had a doubting moment. Now, I know you and me and a lot of people have heard a lot of sermons preached about Peter taking his eyes off the Lord. But I got to come to his defense right now. Peter was the only one that got out the boat, the only one that had a water walking experience like Jesus.
Yes.
Okay. So I say, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out the boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to stay focused on Jesus. He's not going to tell you to do anything that he doesn't allow you to do. So here Peter's walking on the water. And you know, Peter was always talking to the master. Are you always talking to the master? You need to talk to him. But this time, Jesus asked Peter a question. He's asking other people, who do y'all say I am? But when it got to Peter, he said, whom do you say I am? Talking to Peter. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to him, Peter, you ain't that smart. Paraphrasing. You don't know all that. It ain't like that now. You don't have it like that. He said, but my Father has revealed that to you. So by now, Peter's getting pretty used to Jesus, and I think it was three pastors that was always hanging out with Jesus, Peter, James, and John, and sometimes Peter won't know about John. Jesus would tell him, that ain't none of your business. It's whatever John do, that's John's business. You just do what I tell you to do, Peter. But this particular instance, Jesus took Peter, James, and John to a high mountain. And Jesus was transfigured before them. Here come Brother Peter. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good that we be here. If thou wilt, let's make three tabernacles.
Stay right here.
He like it up there. He don't want to move. Let's just get a tabernacle and let's just stay right here on this mountain. Have you ever been on a mountaintop? And it just feels so good. Lord, I don't want to come off in this mountain. It just feels too good. I want to stay right here. But you got to come off the mountain because there's some valleys down there and somebody might need you in the valley. So, Jesus didn't tell him. He didn't say, no, I don't want you to make no tabernacle. He just let it go. Now, I want to leave Peter for a minute, but I'm going to come back to him. I want you to hear what Jesus is saying about his resurrection according to the Gospel of Luke. Luke 24, verses 25 and 27. Now see, Jesus had a way. Somebody said, Jesus called people a fool. My father used to say, even a fool can tell you something. Jesus wasn't a fool. But he said to them, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, 25 through 27, he said to them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, you don't heard about this. Why don't you believe it? Mm-hmm. He said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into glory? And he went all the way back to the beginning and started talking to them about Moses and what all the prophets said, the majors and the minor ones. Mm-hmm. And he expounded upon to them the scriptures concerning him. I mean, no, you got to hear about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Not only do you need to hear about Jesus, you got to come to know Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Moving on down in Luke 24, 32, 32, and it came to pass. Now, you see, when they first saw Jesus, they didn't recognize him. The Bible tells us, be careful how we entertain strangers. We might be entertaining an angel unaware. You don't know when Jesus is going to show up. Mm-hmm. He'll just show up when he needs to show up. But in this incident, it came to pass, he sat at meat with them, and he did the BB thing. Mm-hmm. Ain't talking about BB King either. But the Bible say he took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them. Mm-hmm. John puts it like this. He said what Jesus said. Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, for sure I say to you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, he just gave you some manna. Mm-hmm. But my Father giveth the true bread. For that bread of God is which is come down from heaven, giveth life unto the world. Jesus said, I am that bread of life. Now Jesus said a whole lot of I am. Mm-hmm. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through by me. Jesus said, I'm the one that went down and defeated the devil.
That's right.
But as Jesus began to talk to them, their eyes were open. Mm-hmm. And they knew him. And guess what? He vanished out of sight. And they began to say, oh, did not our hearts burn? I just had an old preacher say that, Pastor. I didn't know what they were talking about, but I understand that. Yep. Did not our heart burn within while he talked to us by the way? And while he opened up the scriptures. Now, we got a lot of people out here writing, talking, and saying, thinking they know something. They might have a whole lot of intellectual knowledge, but they have very little or no revelation. So until the Holy Ghost reveals the word to you, you can't understand it.
That's right.
Paul makes it to the Ephesians that the eyes of your understanding be open. Mm-hmm. The scripture is of no private interpretation. But when the Holy Ghost reveals it, you can understand it.
That's right.
So when he opened up, they understood the scripture.
Amen.
And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which was written in the law. And as he opened up their understanding of the scriptures, then they understood. The disciples needed to understand the prophecies concerning Jesus in order to appreciate why he had risen and what it would mean for them. Mm-hmm. Same is true for us. So it took time for Jesus to reveal stuff to his disciples. Because when he was trying to tell them, I'm going to be crucified, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be offended by me because of me, they didn't believe that. They thought it was just talk.
That's right.
Uh-huh. They couldn't understand that, like us sometimes. We read the word, and I say it's the written word, and we try to apply it to our lives, but God hasn't given us that rhema word to say, this word is for me. But when he gives you that rhema word that you understand, that is revealed, then you see stuff clearly. Mm-hmm. It's like the light bulb come on, like Pastor turned that switch on. When he turned it on, we could see clearer. So when you get that revelation, you can understand. And the Bible tells us to, in all that getting, to get what?
Understanding.
Mm-hmm. If we don't understand, how can we do what the Lord wants us to do? And if we're not talking to him and he's not talking to us, how can we understand? Mm-hmm. So, we need to say something, but we need to also do something. We need to spend some time in prayer.
Amen.
We need to spend some time in the word. Mm-hmm. We need to spend some time with our mouth closed listening mm-hmm. to what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Mm-hmm. Even when we go to prayer, sometimes we're so busy telling God, and God had to put me in check. We're so busy telling God we need this, we need that. We got to learn to listen. God, I got to do this. How am I going to do this? Jesus, just cool it, Carol. Just calm down. This is what I want you to do. Get your priorities right.
There you go.
Everything is just going on. But the disciples were unable to grasp the meaning. Now, they had been with Jesus. He's teaching. He's talking. They're seeing Jesus do a whole lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. They know he has some power. I think that's why Peter liked to be around. He saw that power resting on Jesus. They seen the miracles that he had from. Just because you see don't mean you always understand. Even though the word of God tells us wisdom is the principal thing, so you need wisdom. And he said, if any man like will, let him ask, and God will give it. But he said, in all thy getting, get an understanding. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And Habakkuk, no, Hebrews goes and tells us that through faith we understand. So, we just can't understand certain things unless the Holy Ghost reveals it to us. He is our teacher. Mm-hmm. And thank God for the teacher. We can go to the best schools of higher learning and still not understand our Bibles. Yeah. The word is spirit. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. But if we spend some time with Jesus, listening to him, sitting at his feet, as Reverend Wright always wanted to talk about Martha and Mary, Jesus let them know, one sister desired the best thing because there was only one thing that was needed. So we need to understand that Jesus wants to talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we get too busy doing our own thing. But you know what? When we sit and listen, then we can hear what the Spirit is saying. Now I want to go back to Brother Peter. And I don't quite know all the things that has transpired lately. But when I think about Peter, I can believe there are some things that we can learn from Peter. Mm-hmm. Did Peter deny Christ? Yes, he did. Why did the angel say, tell Peter? I think Peter had to know some things. I think Peter had got caught in a situation where he thought maybe the Lord had forsaken him. So Peter needed to know that God hadn't forsaken him. In spite of all the things that he had said or done.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Word of God tells us he will never leave us or forsake us. And we got to take that to heart. If he said, I'm not going to leave you, I'm not going to forsake you, he's not.
That's right.
Then I think Peter had to know or needed to know that he had been forgiven. Jesus already told him, all y'all going to be offended by me. Peter said, oh no, not me, Lord. I'm not going to do that.
Hmm.
He spoke quick a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think by now, you heard what Minister Riley read. He warmed himself by the strange fire. He got around the enemies. But yet he done told you, no, I ain't going to be offended. All the rest of them came, but not me, Lord. Got to be careful what you say out your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It's better not to even make a vow to the Lord than to make the vow and break it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So Peter really needs to know that he was forgiven. We need to be assured of that. Sometimes we just screw up.
Mm-hmm.
We fall short. We get on the seat of do nothing sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I'm waiting on the Lord. Yeah. Lord said, no, I'm waiting on you.
Yeah.
It's time to get up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting at the right hand of God the Father making intercession for you. It's time for you to do something.
Mm-hmm.
God is a forgiving God. And he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Peter, I think Peter by now is feeling pretty bad. I done denied the Lord. Not one time. Not two times, three times.
Three times.
And I done cursed and swore. I don't know the man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Peter, no, you didn't do that, did you? Peter did it, y'all.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, he did. But you see, just because you fail, it doesn't mean you have to be a failure.
Because
we're going to see that Brother Peter went on and did great things for the Lord. And you know what is true? Sometimes we have very good intentions, but good intentions don't get the job done. We got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get up, and we got to do something. Now, I want you to understand that Peter did a lot. But Peter had a few faults. But they tell me in my Bible that Peter went on to do great things. And Peter was one of those persons that preached. He ran his mouth, but Peter, after he realized what Jesus had done, after he realized that the Lord didn't forsake him, he realized that he had been forgiven. I think he realized he had a future with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell me that Peter preached and he preached and he preached.
Mm-hmm.
And 3,000 souls were saved.
Mm-hmm.
Peter was preaching to a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that Holy Ghost was up on him.
Mm-hmm.
And he began to tell them, you got to repent. Be baptized, and you should receive, accept the Lord Jesus, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they let me know that people received.
Mm-hmm.
And those that received, thank you, Holy Ghost, they received the Holy Ghost. Then they got some power. See, sometimes we're trying to stand for the Lord and do things for the Lord, and we haven't even gotten our instructions.
Mm-hmm.
We hear the word, we come in here and hear the word. In Bible study, in spiritual discussion, Sunday morning, radio, TV, what have you. But we don't have to just be a hearer. We need to be a doer. Now, I don't know where you are today, but I have a few questions to just ask. How you view the resurrection? To tell me that when they finally recognized who Jesus was, and they were had such a good time in realizing the moment that they had so much joy. The psalmist say, weeping endure for a night, but joy come in the morning.
That's right.
Jesus told them, I'm going to meet you in Galilee. And he met them. And they tell me they went in there and they was praising God like I don't know what. Now, I don't know about you, but the question I have is, where are you today? Are you at the foot of the cross? Not really knowing that you know Jesus? He hung on the cross for you. Your sin was nailed to the cross. But you don't have to stay at the foot of the cross. Are you standing at an empty tomb, confused about where Christ is in your life situation? It doesn't matter that you was not there when they laid him in the tomb. What matters is the tomb is empty because he is risen. We sang the song, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. I don't care what men say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always there. He lives. He lives. How do I know? He lives within my heart. And he's waiting to impart that salvation. You may be standing afar, like Peter, hoping that they don't recognize you, hoping that you're not going to be identified with Jesus. But see, the resurrection had changed everything. It meant something to Peter. He called the resurrection his living hope. 1 Peter 1:5-8 tells us so. Peter got involved in the movement. Peter did something. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, there, he who winneth souls is wise. Now, I don't know how many you won, Minister Riley. I don't know how many I ran was in any of many, but I think it's some. But we got to get busy. Got to get busy. If you understand that there's a call on your life, and all of us have been called. The resurrection means something. Jesus didn't get up for us to sit down. But you may not be at the cross. Some writer said there's room at the cross. Though millions has come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross. You didn't have to be there when they laid him in the tomb. You read about it. But he didn't stay in the tomb. He got up, and he got up with all power. You don't have to stand back afar, waiting and hoping. You can do something. You can tell somebody, anybody, everybody about Jesus. Because it's good to know Jesus. Everybody ought to know Jesus. Jesus would that all would come to the knowledge of truth and know him. But there's going to be some that's not going to believe. You can't make them believe.
That's right.
But you got to do it. They said, tell Peter. You got to tell them.
That's right.
God will work on their heart. And you may be standing in Galilee, listening to the risen Savior, and filled with joy, knowing that a change has come on you. Well, that's good. But just because you're listening to him, still doesn't mean that you don't have to do something. Why are you going to listen to him? He gives you something to do and you sit down and act like you didn't hear. Why are you going to call him Lord, Lord, and do not the things he said? Wherever you're standing today will determine how you respond to the resurrection. I'm so glad he rose. Someone said, they crucified my Savior. And they nailed him to the tree. But he rose on the third day. He got up. And he didn't just get up, but he got up with all power. And I'm so glad that he got up. We don't need to forget. just like we do sometimes. We need to really do some soul searching and see what it really does the resurrection mean to us. In my own little mind sometimes, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done, everything, how he show up right on time.
Come on, man.
And I don't care if he's late, he's still on time. Mary and Martha thought it was late, because they said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Oh, yes. But Jesus said, he's going to rise. Mary and Martha said, I know he's going to rise in the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. What does the resurrection mean to you today? You don't have to answer to me, because God knows. He's the only one that knows your heart. But because of the resurrection, there ought to be a change. We ought to be like the disciples. The realization has changed. Before Jesus was resurrected, they were scared. They were in hiding. Imagine them at home. They were the most pitiful men.
That's right.
But when Jesus got up with all power and power, he said, stay here in Jerusalem till you endue with power from on high. And then he told them, you need to go and do something. He told them, you need to go. The leadership. The word has been taught and preached. Sometimes I should feel like a spiritual glutton. God said, you got to get up and you start sharing what I put in you, because somebody needs to hear that Jesus saves. Somebody needs to hear he's no longer on the cross. He's no longer in the grave. Yes, he was buried. He was crucified, dead, and buried. But the third day, he got up with power. And he sits at the right hand of God, the Father, making intercessions for us. When we don't know how to pray as we ought, he's praying for us. Because of him, we have eternal life. He opened the door so that we could have that. Eternal life is not in terms of years, as some people think. You know, when I say we have to do a little introspection, I've always read John 3:16. But you know what? I know if I had really paid any attention to John 3:15. It's amazing how we can take an isolated scripture, cling to that, and not look at the scripture ahead of the one below. He lets us know. And he's given us eternal life. That's not something that we got to wait for when we die. We got that possession now. And because we have life eternal, we ought to be doing something. I don't know what you need to do, but as I spent time with the Lord, he let me know there's some things that I've called you to do. I haven't really denied him like Peter. But when I disobey him, I'm denying him.
Well.
So I don't know about you. You need to have a little talk with the master. Let Jesus tell you what you need to do. He's still speaking. He's still sitting on the right hand side of God the Father making intercession for us. He wants us to get up. If we say we are followers of Jesus Christ, then we have to be doing something. We don't need to leave it to others. And sometimes we think because we are little or small in number, it ain't the number, it's the quality. So I say to you, the resurrection changed everything for us. And because it did, we ought to be willing to help change others by telling them the good news, the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. Paul said, I want to know him in the power of the resurrection. Just know, not know about him,
right.
But I want to know him. There's a difference. No. I know a man from Galilee. He walked on the water. He went about doing good, healing all manner of disease. Do you know him? Do you know him in the pardon of your sin? Do you know really what he's done for you? And if you do, our story should be different. We need to tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord, because he went about doing good. God, thank you. When he calls you, you got to answer. But you got to be doing something. When he talks to you and tells you to go, your mama don't go, your father don't go, you still got to go. Reminded me, Carolyn, delayed obedience is still disobedience. I don't want to disobey the Lord, and I don't think you do, but when we fail to do what he assigns to us, you may not experience what Peter experienced. You may not do what Peter experienced. Mr. Riley, you may not preach so 3,000 souls to save, neither that. We have to do what he calls us to do. Let us stand on our feet.
When he calls me, I will answer. When he calls me, I will answer. When he calls me, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening to my name.
Somebody's calling my name.
somebody.